We have a long history. The other thing, we talked about the Negro. A lot of people don't know about that word Negro. A lot of even young people don't know about it, but that was what about 50 years ago, you know, we was using that term Negro. And Malcolm said something about that. He said, the worst trick of all is when the European call us Negroes. So I want to ask you, how did that calling of ourselves Negro over those years impact our history?
Well, when Malcolm talked about the Negro, he was big at etymology. He would have the chalkboard, and he was like he was a professor in the mosque. Remember his time in the Nation of Islam, where he taught the teachings of the Most Honorable Elijah Muhammad better than any minister at that time. There were other ministers, obviously, and they'll tell you that was just as good as Malcolm. But we know Malcolm, and we not know of them. So that, you know, we'll let the people decide with that. Mm-hmm. But the most important thing about it was that the message was delivered, and then our people were awakened from the dead living, right? So they're zombies, right? So you're dealing with necro, you're dealing with necrophilia, necropolis, so on and so forth, and some of the negative terms that were used at us during those times was spook, right? So we're basically calling ourselves dead entities, right? The zombie comes from Africa, comes from Haiti, that you are in control, you are not you yourself, but you are a controlled entity, you're an avatar, right? And that you're a spook, a living thing that's supposed to be dead. So whatever breathes life into you controls you, and you are not who you formerly were. We say Africans made God, and the white political machine or the white man made Negroes. There's another word, but we'll say Negroes. So the white man made a Negro. So if you look at the Negro and you look at the African, the God entity before the enslavement, the destruction, the seasoning camps and plantations and so on and so forth, then you'll get the Negro, someone who is aspiring to be white, wants to build up America, who uses terms like we when speaking about American history and our astronauts. That's what Michael used to say, our astronauts and our government. And America was created by you, but not for you. And so the Negro's thought process and frame of mind was about being part of the United States, but not talking or thinking about that the land there, you were already there. Malcolm dealt with the ships and the plantations, but our people were already here. Our people were indigenous to this land, and we already had a society. And Europe, since it's worse people, it's worse white men to this land, and then they decided, hey, we're going to take this thing over, and we're going to develop something in a more vile image. So criminals was over here. Criminals started this nation, right? Mm-hmm. And so when they came here, they came with the mindset of death. This wasn't going to be a thing where we were going to be able to share the society, that we were built it up, or you live here, and you live here. And that's the thought process of our people. The land is for the people. The land is a gift from God for people. So if you come here, partake, please, you know, and be humble, right? And don't be overbearing, and don't be capitalistic in your thinking. Well, this is what all these people were. So once they found out that they could kill indiscriminately, right, they had to defend themselves, and it became a war for this land. They came with the absolute thought process. You're dealing with a pope that would send people around the globe and say, here, right here, this point, you just point his finger. This part right here, that's you. Mm-hmm. God has ordained it. And they would go on these exhibitions and go there and see that the people were there, but they had God's man. God's man gave them the word to say, that's your land. So do what you need to do to occupy and conquer it. And so they would take the people. You see? So, you know, again, we're dealing with the lack of history there. And when you don't have that history, you are the Negro. You're not the African God.
Right.
You see what I'm saying? You don't mm-hmm. know that or everywhere you're at. You circumnavigated the entirety of the planet, and that the planet belongs to you. The Negro believes, hey, I'm so happy for this white person or these white people to give me an opportunity to make a living, quote unquote, and make contributions to America. And I know I'm getting treated wrongly, but as long as I don't mention it and I keep smiling, they won't do no harm to me, even though they have done, they will do, and they'll continue to do it. So the Negro is more of a thought process it continues to be detrimental to our people. We don't even call each other Negroes now, but we still act like it.
Yeah, and I was thinking about that word Negro too, you know, because one of the brothers, Dick Gregory, had brought some information up about it, and he talked about how the movie Frankenstein, you know, how the Dr. Frankenstein created Frankenstein and put them together from different pieces, and Frankenstein found out, when Frankenstein found out who he really was, he kind of went off. You know, he wasn't part of them. Now, one of the other things, and I think a lot of people talk about this, and Malcolm talk about this too, he said, just as a tree without roots is dead, a people without history or culture root also become a dead people. So what you think about that?
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Again, the Negro is the tree without roots. Mm-hmm. And when you're dealing with the roots, this is why white people get so uncomfortable with us reaching back. They know the history. They're familiar with the history. They know their role in it. So if you ever go to schools and you try to upgrade or progressivize the culture or the education with a majority black school, they feel a way about it because they feel like the children are going to hate them. And they ask, you have to ask this woman, well, should they be justified? That's one of the questions Malcolm asked all the time. They said, you guys are going around preaching hate. Malcolm and the Nation of Islam, Elijah Muhammad are going around preaching hate. And he said, well, you should ask us, the question should be, are we justified in hatred? Because you sit here arrogantly and you ask me, do I hate the white man or am I preaching hate? Well, you act on your hatred day in and day out, but you're appalled that a black man will actually point it out that you are acting aggressively towards black people and killing them indiscriminately and get no justice, that you maldistribute the resources purposely, that you have legal segregation, legal apartheid, where we get the worst resources and you get the best. And then you see our people taking those trash cans and twigs and the paint that we're getting and making metropolises. And you're angry because how do we gave them a little resources as possible? How did they build this great town, this great city, Tulsa, Oklahoma? You know, how they doing overseas trade? And we gave them little to nothing. And they have rich black people here with cars and fur coats. We don't have that. They got pianos. We don't have pianos. How did they get pianos? Well, it's because we have all the skills to create these things. Everything that you had during slavery, we created. So when you free a people with all the knowledge that they had and leave them alone to build, these are the people, remember, that had built the pyramids and great African civilizations and dynasties after dynasty after dynasty before white people even came into the picture, then of course they're going to build something more superior than you've ever seen before in your life. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So that cultural root there is very important in the knowledge of our people. We dealt with that during this entire interview, but to give certain perspectives that if you're left in the woods, left alone as a people, that mitochondria starts stirring up, the ancestral memory that's in your DNA starts conjuring up what was created before, and that you can do it again, getting back to your spiritual systems, that you're not praying to a white, blonde-haired, blue-eyed Jesus, that you're giving thanks to the ancestors and gods that you created painstakingly, will certainly reestablish those roots, and you'll see an entirely different society. They know, listen, brother, they establish and create economic deprivation. Mm-hmm. Educational castration, the things they're doing to the men, the things they're doing to the women, the trafficking of men and women, the stealing of organs. They're part of all that. And then they have fake organizations who say they're going to help the problem when they exacerbate problems. As a matter of fact, they're part of the problem. You see what I'm saying? It's all a trick and it's all a game. And when you connect to your roots, you'll be able to decipher that. It's like the movie The Matrix. Once you get that third eye open, that eye opens up, and you get to see the society for what it is, you see all the treacherous people around you. You see a treacherous society, a government that does not care about you, and is trying for years, been trying for years to get rid of you, and don't know how exactly to do it. And so when white folks have an issue or a problem, or the government has an issue or a problem, it results to the very thing that they wanted to do when they first encountered us. And that's genocide, that's murder, that's death, that's assassinations. Anytime we decide to be sovereign or independent or connect to our roots, they cut those roots off. Jesus and the Black Messiah is a great movie to watch that just recently came out that deals with Blacks trying to get back to their roots, trying to establish justice in their own community, and the power structure eliminating that.